Hi everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Thanks everyone for stopping by. You know, this is our 10th episode, so that's kind of exciting. We're 10 episodes in. We're gonna just dive right into it, man, because we're arriving at Limblum today, and there's a lot to talk about. I actually don't really have anything to say about, you know, to recap. We were pretty sprawled on with Dally, so that's good news right there. But just to catch you up in case you missed the last one or whatever, if it's been a bit, we basically went through Dally. We learned the Dark Secret, right? They're making the dolls. And then we left off right when Steiner gets the info from the old man Morid about the cargo ship.
Yep.
And then boom, we ended it there. Yep. So, picking it right up, it goes right then to kind of, like the barrel scene, right? Because if you remember Zidane, VV, Dagger, they all get stuffed into a giant barrel. And it's just funny because it starts off with like just kind of two workers dealing with it. And they look over, they're like, is that guy in scary armor running towards us? And then the other dude's like, let's get out of here, and they just, like, take off.
Yeah. He had all that coffee energy after drinking the coffee with Morid, and then he's running towards him. And I mean, Steiner's a pretty intimidating guy, so I don't blame him.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, he's definitely in armor. Absolutely. Dude running. Yeah. And so then, you know, then he sees the barrel, and you actually you got a choice here. If you, like, well, you can choose to, like, stab it with the sword or something, and then that there's that choice. Or if you just observe it some more or whatever, then they end up tipping it on top of Steiner. So it's pretty cool. I mean, you kind of get two little different outcomes, in which if you just select the same option every single time, not sure you would know that there is a different option.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever... I always choose the poke with the sword because it's such a funny outcome where, you know, Zidane comes out and he's like, you almost stabbed Dagger.
Yep. And then he jumps on his head, right? And so either way, Steiner falls backwards onto his back, like just stiff man.
Yeah. It's hilarious. I know. I love that part. Then you've got Black Waltz 2 comes in and, you know, still talking about how he's got to retrieve the princess as part of his mission, which is still kind of where we don't really know what's going on with these guys or who's controlling them and where they're from and all that stuff. But I think it's at this point that we finally find out that they're from Alexandria Castle.
Yes. Yeah. And then the party learns that Zidane did fight the first one, you know, and there we go. And, you know, it's a pretty straightforward battle. You have all four of them. So it's the first time that you actually kind of get to fight a boss, right, with all four of them. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. He will not harm Dagger. So, you know, obviously he's trying to bring her back. So he won't hit her, but he will definitely hit with everyone else. And it's just, you know, he can be tough, man. Vivi, if you use magic, I don't know if it happens every single time with the counter. So you'll have to fill me in on that in just a moment here. But if you do use magic, he'll counter with it, but it'll hit all of them. So that's kind of substantial because that does like 100 to each, all three of them.
Yeah. I think this guy's actually pretty tough. I mean, especially if you try to use magic against him, he hits hard. Like, your magic will maybe do, like, I don't know, 70, 80 or something like that. And then, like you said, he hits you back with that exact same spell, and it does about 100 damage to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, which, I mean, you know, Vivi only has, like, 190, so you can't really take two of those hits.
Yep.
Well, and then also you have three players that just took that much damage, so it's kind of like now you're trying to kind of keep up with getting everyone back up to full as well.
And then also, I think once he drops below a certain HP threshold, he hits you with Fyra, which is really strong, and that's likely to kill somebody because I think it does about 140 to everybody except for Dagger.
Yeah, so, I mean, he definitely comes packing, and, you know, I mean, what I did basically... I fought him twice. The first time I just kept using magic because I was like, I can heal through it. I couldn't. Everyone died. And then I found out, you know, because this didn't happen before. I don't remember in my last playthrough. But, you know, if everyone's dead except for Dagger, obviously, because he won't attack her for two turns, you know, he then puts her to sleep. And then, you know, it's basically that game over. He takes her back to the castle. So kind of just something interesting with that. But yeah, definitely, I just had Vivi on the second time. I just had Vivi defend, didn't even worry about magic, and luckily I got a trance with Steiner, so that kind of took care of that.
But, oh yeah, that's pretty much game over at that point, huh? And you can't get a trance with either Zidane or, or Steiner. Quick note with that too, you can steal a steepled hat 100% of the time. And the second or rare steal is a leather plate at 25%.
Yeah, so I mean, decent items. You're just about to be able to buy a steepled hat, not a big deal, but you know, pretty good stuff.
Exactly. Then after you fight him, you get a really interesting little optional scene if you'd like. You get the chance to go back to the inn and rest after that. And when you do that, you know, you go back to the innkeeper, who of course was the one that basically had Vivi kidnapped and all that stuff.
Right.
And it's just really funny because he's all confused and everything.
See, now, I don't know if I actually have seen that, because I usually just, I'm like, nah, you know, keep going.
Yeah.
Because I guess what I figure is that it's just gonna, you know, just do the little blum, 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 you know, just do the music and then you'll be back there. I didn't know you could actually, you know, you could see scenes and stuff, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's funny because he says the exact same, or he's staring again, and then Zidane says the exact same thing. He's like, I know she's cute, but it's rude of you to stare. And he goes, you know, he goes, oh, I'm sorry. And Zidane does this kind of thing where he's like, you know, the thinking, looking up in the air with the question mark. So he's like, wait, what? Is he really looking at Dagger? It's just kind of funny.
That is pretty funny. All right, well, here comes the most iconic scene in Final Fantasy IX, I'd say, is where it's time to get on the ship, man. You know, it's taken off. It had enough time for you to go rest at the end, of course. But, you know, of course, now it's taken off. Steiner got it moving. And, you know, up goes the princess. And then up comes Zidane's hand to touch that nice little bottom of hers. And, ooh, soft. Which was my first bold move in the very first episode.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's a classic scene.
Absolute classic. And, you know, they get to the top. And he's like, come on, you know. She pulls the whole, I trust you.
Right.
He's like, damn, you know, he's like, ah, gosh.
Yeah. And he's just like, maybe if I try hard enough, she'll reward me with a kiss or two.
Yeah. Then she comes out and he's like, oh, already?
Yeah. It's really funny, the early stages between him and Dagger. He's really going for it. But I think later on, you know, he kind of accepts the fact that, well, I mean, you know, let's not spoil it. We'll get into it.
So. Yeah. All right, well, if you go inside, it's just kind of cool. It's the only time that you encounter a fake treasure chest. He's like, oh, it's a piece that looks like a treasure chest, but it's just a piece of the ship. Yeah. And so that's kind of cool because, you know, it looks like it, but then it also, it lets you select it. You know, it like has an option, and then that's when he says it.
Yeah, I always just instinctively think it's a chest. I mean, it does look like one. And another funny thing that I don't know a lot of people know about this, but as you're walking through the ship, there's a very brief point past one of those windows where you get an exclamation mark. And if you press X at that point, Zidane he says something like, I wonder if the boss and the crew made it out okay. Or we're passing over Evil Forest soon. I wonder if the boss and the crew made it out okay. Just kind of an interesting thing because, you know, at this point in the game, I think a lot of people have kind of forgotten about Tantalus and the Evil Forest. So you kind of remember that you split up with them, they were back there, did they escape, what happened to them, all of those things.
Yeah, it's just something to kind of keep that going in your mind as you play through. Yeah. Like, hey, you know, this is still a thing that's going on. And so Black Waltz 3, I mean, we're flying, right? Okay, you know, obviously, basically catch up. So, you know, they take control of the airship, they're turning around, and then here comes Black Waltz 3. I mean, it's pretty cool what all the other kind of dolls, like Vivi, they go on attack and the dude's crazy and, you know, Vivi, like, screams and goes out to attack it. And
well, and even before that, too, I love the scene where Zidane goes up onto the upper deck and Steiner's freaking out because he thought that they took off without Dagger.
Yeah.
And, you know, Zidane was like, the heck are you doing? Like, you almost left us behind. And then he finds out the Dagger's on there and he's just like, oh, you know what? That was really nice of him. I'll petition for a life sentence on my behalf. And it's like, oh, sweet. Thanks, Steiner. That's so nice of you to not kill, you know, Zidane.
That is pretty funny. There's some good stuff.
And some funny scenes.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, I guess some noteworthy things, Black Waltz. I don't think I've ever really had big trouble with him on this run through. Because, I mean, no matter what, Vivi gets a trance, right? So that kind of helps. It's double magic. It's, you know, it doesn't do anything fantastic, but it's still double, you know, double spells. I mean, I guess the only thing is what Dagger's not in there to heal, but that's okay because, you know, potions, he doesn't really crank out that much damage that you really need to worry about, you know, healing other than a potion.
Yeah, thankfully. I mean, I have to admit, I think trying to steal the silver gloves in this one, I've taken a lot of damage, and I'll be sitting there with Zidane and Steiner, you know, constantly throwing potions. But other than that, it's not a difficult fight, like what you said. You know, if you're just trying to take him out, you just use the double magic with Vivi. I actually think this guy's easier than number two.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't counter with magic or anything, but exactly. He does use a lot of Thundera that hits the whole party. Usually does about 100 to 120. And then, yeah, the steals, we've got Steepled Hat, Linen Cuirass, and Silver Gloves. And I don't know what the chances are, but the Silver Gloves are, like, a really difficult rare steal. I think it's
pretty low, yeah.
Yeah, and they're not a very unique item. You do get a pair pretty soon here, and you get to synthesize them. But I believe it's about 6.25%, so it's pretty hard to get those.
Yeah, you'll be sitting there. Well, that's kind of the thing. The past two bosses, right, Black Waltz 2 and 3, like, all it's really doing right now is just saving you a little bit of money. Because, yeah, I mean, you're literally about to be able to pick them up. So don't sit there and try to make it a big deal to get them all unless you're just a perfectionist. Because, I mean, yeah, you'll just be able to buy them here in a moment.
Yeah, and actually, fun fact, I'll throw this out there. Silver Gloves is a missable item that becomes, you can't buy them after Disc 2 at Lindblom, I think is the only place, this one, that you can buy those. So, not particularly exciting piece of equipment, but it is missable if you don't get a pair.
Yep, make sure you pick it up. All right, well, you take them out, and then it's just, man, I think the movie after this is like one of my favorite in the game. It's so awesome, you know. I mean, of course you have Zorn and Thorn. They're driving like what? Like the equivalent of like a motorcycle airship, you know, is like pretty much what it is. And you know, Black Waltz 3 commandeers it and just chasing them down. I just love it, man. It's so awesome going through the gates closing, you know, the dude is just his own demise, you know, his lightning strikes his own ship. Yeah.
And even before that, like, whether, you know, you got Zorn and Thorn on their little motorcycle ship thing looking through the binoculars, and they're like, our enhanced black mages, our black mage enhancements.
Well, it's like, we made him too strong.
Yeah, not really, man. I mean, he can only do 120 damage.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, I think you guys focus a little too much on the cosmetic, because he does look sweet compared to the others, too, but come on. Awesome. So anyways, you made it through, and now you're heading towards Lindblom. So kind of things are starting to get rolling here, right? It's pretty cool. I like how the story progresses. And just like our episode is progressing, we're going to go ahead and get into seed trivia. Alex is going to get this one today. I have a feeling he's going to get it. Seed rank 6. So let's get to it.
All right. Let's do it.
So bold moves, I'm going to go ahead and start us out. It is Final Fantasy VII. You know, it's funny because one of your recent bold moves was about Kate Sith stealing the Black Materia, right? So my bold move actually goes to Yuffie for stealing everyone's Materia. You know, like, chick, you've been traveling. Now, granted, this is if you got Yuffie. I don't know why you wouldn't, but, you know, and you go back to, what's her home called? I forget.
Wutai.
Yeah, you go back there and she steals all the Materia. It's like, what a jerk! We've been through so much at this point, and you're just gonna steal all of our Materia and then hide in baskets? What's wrong with you?
I know, right? And it's kind of funny because it's like that whole segment of the game, sort of like a little bit of a break from the seriousness of the story, you know, because it's kind of funny. There's a lot of humor that goes on. You've got the Turks, you've got her stealing the Materia, all of this different stuff. But like, that's some seriously unforgivable stuff that she does right there. I mean, you know, how can you... She's just in your party, and they just accept it and everything.
Yeah. So, bold move to her for thinking that was first off, even going to work. And then second, just for being really mean.
Right. Big meanie.
Big meanie. What you got?
All right. So, I got Final Fantasy 13.
Oh, and gosh.
Yeah, I always just thought this was so funny. Like, I don't know if you remember the amount of times they say, like, pulse is hell. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Saz in particular says it several times, and he pisses off Fang. He's just like, she's like, all right, funny man, that's enough about the pulse being hell thing. So, that would be bold, man. You know, I don't think you want to be making her angry.
No.
So,
Yeah.
Old move by Sass.
Well, yeah, enough is enough. Pulse as hell.
Yeah, they always say that. It's really funny. As if Cocoon's like a walk in the park.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if anything, I like Pulse better.
Right.
But, alright.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll have to go through 13. That's going to be just a... That's going to be a whole ordeal, that's for sure. But that was our bold moves, and let's get out into the city of Lindblom. Let's go walk around the street, so let's get it. So you go through the little, you know, it shows the world map, and you're on the airship, and it's all smoke, it's not doing hot, and it goes all the way into Lindblom. I mean, I guess the first thing you notice is just, like, how massive it is compared to... You know, I mean, I guess you didn't really get a good look at Alexandria from the outside, but just based on everyone's reactions, and especially, like, Daggers and Steiners who lived at Alexandria, you know, you can tell that Lindblom is just, like, a massive city compared to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, this is definitely one of my favorite FMVs in the game when you're going through the gate. Just what a cool city, man. You know, it's kind of built in, like, tiers.
Yeah.
And it's really steep and everything, and...
Just airships just all over the place.
Yeah, actually, one funny thing about that, though. What the heck's up with the airship dock? Why is it, like, you know, the entrance to it is constantly moving? It's like that circle that's
yeah, it's like a clock.
Yeah, why is it doing that?
Oh, no. Why does it? I guess keep them on your toes. You know,
yeah,
but
I mean,
imagine this old rickety thing, you know, they're floating to the hole and then it moves and it's like, oh no, you know, it's like,
can't adjust in time, ah! Just crash right there.
I never really thought about that, man. That's hilarious.
Right? I mean, I don't know, just the little things in this game is so funny.
It is. But, and you know, you arrive and you find out that somehow the Regent Cid, who, you know, we had to work the name in Cid, of course, every Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
So the regent, the king, the ruler, whatever you want, he's waiting for you. And it's like, they're kind of confused, like, okay. And, you know, most of the time when you get a summons like that, you kind of need to get, you know, you kind of need to go. The king's requesting your presence. Well, in this case, not so much of a big deal. You can just go and explore.
you can
go anywhere except for where you need to go. It's hilarious.
I know, right? There's no security clearance or anything like that. Once they figure out that Princess Garnet is in the team, then you can just go to the guest room, you can go to the airship. Not the airship docks, but that other place where they're like building the airship, where they're building the Hildegard 3 or whatever.
Yep.
So, yeah, I agree. And then it's at this point where we have our next Magnet letter exchange here, where...
Sure do.
We've got... I'm actually forgetting. Did we have one from the last one, the one in the Dali Underground that went to...
Kumop did not receive one, but did want to give one. So that's where we're at.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I get confused with these names. All right, so Kumop, Kumagki, and we give him a letter, and then Magki wants us to give a letter to Atla.
Yep. It just keeps going, right? Right now, you know, the chain keeps going. We'll find out in a moment if it does keep going. And of course, it's just a little bit of lore. I mean, it's nothing too crazy. And if you do head outside of the guest room and go down little stairs, you're going to see like kind of a woman dressed in a uniform, right? And you can talk to her and you learn that she's a crew woman. What, her name's Aaron? And Zidane's just hitting on her whole time. He's like, hey, look, I'm about to grab some lunch. You want to go? And boom, she's like, nah, I got to go. It's like, and he just does his you know, hanging his head like, oh, denied, you know?
Denied.
Denied. It's absolutely hilarious.
He's just shooting his shot, you know? He's giving it a try.
Dude, if it even remotely looks like a woman, he is shooting his shot. Like, that's just how it goes.
For real. Yep. So, what do we got next? We have the meeting with Cid, and something's up with Cid, right? Like he's a little bit different.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. He kind of makes a guak guak noise.
Yeah, it gets punched right in the face by Steiner. Dude, most hilarious part to me so far to this is that he's just, you know, Sid's coming down like, hey, what's up, yo? And Steiner's just like, Ogla, bam, you know, like all the way throws him back to the throne, you know, just hilarious.
That's right. So Cid is an Ogla.
Yep.
We told you guys earlier that this game and the Oglops, I'm telling you, it just does not go away. It's like a reoccurring joke.
The Oglops, yeah, and well, and Cid is a particularly large Oglop too, you know, it talks about, and he's got his mustache still, which is just hilarious.
Got his mustache. And the best thing I love about Sid is just everything he says is like with a little guac
Yeah.
at the
He
end.
just can't help it, right? It's just an
Yeah.
involuntarily guac, and so
Right.
but you don't really find out very much from here. He's just like, you know, look, just everyone go rest. We'll talk about it tomorrow. And so, you know, everyone's excited to get food except for Zidane. He's like, no way, man. I don't like that fancy food. Doesn't fill you up. And so he goes into town. He gets to like to the pub. It's just he looks at the menu. He goes, oh, soup du silence. It sounds wonderful. You know? Like it's just
I
what
love
is
that
that?
name.
What soup is that?
Soup du silence. It's
Absolutely
so
ridiculous.
funny. Just a really interesting part with this. I actually really love like the bar or the cafe or whatever you want to
Yeah.
call it. That music that they play in there. This is the only place in the whole game that plays it. I mean, it plays certain scenes later on in the game, but I
Right.
actually really like it. It's kind of just like a, I don't know, it fits the scene really well where it's just sort of like a casual bar or
Exactly,
restaurant or
yeah.
something, you
Just
know?
real catchy, smooth song.
Yep,
Yeah,
exactly.
it's good.
And
We'll try to get that up on the blog for you guys too, so you can listen to it.
yep. And then Zidane's back at it, right?
Oh my gosh. Dude, this
What is
one
it this time?
I just did this, you know, yesterday, and it the whole I know, you know, this is the thing. I love doing this podcast about it because it's allowing me to really hone in on very specific things and notice things that I hadn't really put too much thought in before, right? And so obviously we got this hot waitress, man, and she just comes and she's like, "You're in my way." First of all, he's popular with all the ladies in Lindblom. Well,
Yep.
clearly not this one. And it's just hilarious because you know, he steps aside, she walks to the corner, and if you go and talk to her, it starts like, "You ever been on an airship ride or an airship cruise?" You know, and she's like, "Really?" And then of course, you know, you got someone
Oh,
that
man.
calls him Monkey Tail.
Yeah, but just to go back to, I just love that about this game where, you know, I mean, the first time we played this, we were like 12 years old or something like that, right?
Yeah,
But
11, 12.
it's just so funny though because that works for when you're, you know, 30 or whatever, because it's
Yeah.
basically the equivalent of like, hey, you wanna come join me on my yacht, or do you want a private jet to, you know, Peru or something like that? It's just
Yeah.
so funny. It's like Zidane's 16 years old and he's playing like he's got a private jet.
And the funny thing about that is, okay, so, you know, that's when I wrote this and I was thinking about this, I was trying to imagine it as is. So you're at a bar, you're talking to the waitress, you're just talking to a girl, right? You're trying to hit on her, get her. And then a different person calls at you from the bar. You're still in your same place. You turn, right? And so you find out that it's Freya, right? But the hilarious thing with that is, you know, Zidane pretends to forget her name and he gets her all
Yeah.
fired up. We'll tie that into also something else. Meanwhile, the waitress is like still standing there, like, dude, what the heck? You know, like, are we going on that ship ride or not? And then Zidane just goes and starts talking to Freya, you know, like, dude, like, it's like, dude, you have a one-track mind. Like, you cannot finish something.
While he's blocking her way, she can't walk through him. She can't say excuse me or something like that. He's trying to
Yeah.
have a conversation. That'd be rude.
Yeah. And so once you do step through, she just keeps walking, like, what the heck, man? You know,
Yeah,
screw
I
you.
know. Exactly. It's a cheap attempt by Zidane. But yeah, that's also a really funny part where he's talking to Freya for the first time and he's trying to guess her name. It's like, you've really gotten big, Rachel, or something.
Yeah. Oh,
The
you're the
name.
girl live next door. Wow, you've really gotten big.
You've really gotten big. And she's just like, you nasty little. It's like, I'm just joking. I never forget a pretty girl's name.
Yeah, and
And of
then, you
course.
know, that whole thing again. So yeah, forgetting her name. Well, we'll tie that into later, but kind of a crude joke if that's how he meant it. But that was kind of just a small little snippet. Pretty funny. Again, kind of goes to like Daggers talking to Cid. You learn all this stuff. A bandit or, you know,
Yeah.
whatever apparently tried to break into the castle, end up turning him into an Oglop, you know, and that's kind of it. I mean, you learn some other things. Cid is suspecting Thune, you know, all the kind of storyline with Alexandra, which is why he had what?
I believe this is where he tells her that he had Tantalus.
Yep.
He hired them to go and kidnap her. It's kind of funny how things worked out at this point because, you know, at the very beginning, you knew that Dagger, she knew that something was wrong with Queen Braun. She had noticed that, you know, they talk about her father's death. And after that, Queen Braun has changed and she's being a bit more power hungry and all of the shady stuff. And this mystery man at the castle, Alexandria Castle, who we'll learn a lot more about later on in the game. But yeah, they're talking about, you know, what do we do? Like, what's wrong with her and what's going on there?
Yeah, and so, you know, the story will kind of piece together as it moves along a little further here. But more or less, yeah, everyone, Dagger and Cid, everyone's suspecting that Braun is, yeah, planning some things. And
yeah,
maybe some shifty characters moving their hands in that. So before we get out into the city, out and about, because, whole bunch more to get to once you actually get to move around, but we're gonna do bold move. So let's go ahead and start up that little short segment. So our first question, we're gonna be in Final Fantasy VII. I didn't want to make them too hard or too easy. Some of them were kind of just gimmies. I need to get back to that, right? It's fun. So Final Fantasy VII, you can kick a soccer ball, well, into all of our European fellows, a football. In Costa del Sol.
Yes, you can. That's true.
All right. Final Fantasy 13. I know you probably cringe when you hear 13 a little bit.
Yeah.
Fane. I'm not going to say what it is, but Fane has the most powerful commando ability out of all the characters.
In terms of damage output or...
Yeah, well, you know, and I know it's relative because I know that eventually everyone just maxes out anyways, right? But, like, hers is, like, just... I can't see the names, right? Because then it's just...
Yeah, yeah.
But just hers is the most powerful. It's the best one for commando role.
I'm going to say true. I know which one you're talking about. It's pretty good. I'm going to say true.
All right. Final Fantasy X-2. I'm going to give you an option. Do you want... the original 10-2 question, or do you want the remastered 10-2 question that I'm about to ask?
Which one's easier?
Well, see, that's up to you. I don't know which one you have more experience with.
Remastered.
Okay, we're talking garment grids here. For remastered, the garment grids, the end, higher power, peerless, and last resort are the only ones that have break limits on them.
The only one that I'm not sure about is higher power. Say true on that.
Final Fantasy IX, getting into almost where we're going to get to today. The Festival of the Hunt. Zidane's reward is 7,000 gil. Well, obviously, you know, if you win with him, obviously.
Right. False.
Final Fantasy X, the first strength sphere that you get is from beating the Luka goers in the that first tournament.
True.
Final Fantasy VIII. If you give the sacred card to Queen of Cards, Irvine is created.
True.
And the last one, Final Fantasy VIII again. Eden's... Well, okay, I know they all have different here. I guess I'll just say the question. Eden's three special abilities... are Mad Rush, Dark Side, and Absorb. I mean, they all have, junction and all that, but... Okay.
Right. I know what you're talking about. False.
All right, let's go through this. Final Fantasy VII, you can kick a soccer or football, whatever you want to call it, in Costa del Sol. Red's playing with the kid, but you know what? You can go ahead and hop right in. Good job, man. Final Fantasy XIII, Fane does have the most... You know, and obviously, again, it's all relative, but her high wind... Right. Is like the absolute best one. I mean, it just if you unlock it, when you unlock it, it's like it just does ridiculous amounts of damage, you know, compared to other people. So you got that one. Final Fantasy X, you got it correct, man. The end, or 10-2 rather, the end, higher power, peerless, and last resort are the only garment grids that break limits. If you went with the original one, the only two for it are the end and higher power. So, the remastered added in peerless in last resort.
Oh, interesting. I didn't actually know that, but...
Dude, I would have... I've never even made it that far in Final Fantasy X-2, so...
Those are really hard to get, especially the end. That's a crazy difficult one to get.
Yeah, so that's why I didn't remember any of that. I was like, hope he knows this. All right, Festival of the Hunt, Final Fantasy IX. You don't get 7,000, you get 5,000. So, correct. Final Fantasy X, the first strength sphere you get is from beating the Luka Goers. So, man, you're on a roll.
Hell yeah.
All right, Final Fantasy VIII, yep, give Sacred Card to Queen of Cards, and the Irvine card is then created. And the last one, Eden's three special abilities are Mad Rush, Dark Side, but it is not Absorb, it is Devour, so you got that one correct as well. All right, man, you came back with a vengeance on this one. You're like, no, you got 100%.
Yeah. Oh, man, it is tough, though. I can only imagine, you know, from your point of view, trying to come up with these questions where some of the really specific ones are really difficult to know, you know? I mean, like the Gil one was good, and I just remember that just because I played that game so much. But
of course.
I'm glad, man. Finally. What am I
at? You got it.
Rank 7 or rank 8?
Yeah, you're rank 6 now, so 7 tests will be next time. And awesome. Right on, man. Good job. Let's go ahead and get back to Final Fantasy IX here. So, out in the city, well, I mean, okay, you really start in the inn, and a few funny things in the inn that you can check out is, first off, you get the next Moogle, which you can think it's Atla, right? Nope, wrong, it's Mudon. Something like that. So, you still have that letter from Maki, and actually, Mudon gives you a letter from, it's from Ruby to Zidane, so actually gives you a letter, right? And it's just pretty funny. I mean, it just talks about it made me think, right? Like, dude, it's true. They totally just left Ruby. Imagine being Ruby. Imagine just being someone and your crew unintentionally left you at a city. And it's like, well, what the heck? What do I do? And so what did she do? Well, she started a theater in that one little tiny pub that you can go to in the alleyway.
She's looking for actors or something, or is that...
Yeah, something like that. I think it's when they're just, deciding to start up, and she's like, when y'all gonna come back for me?
Yep, and then you finally get to go out. There is a funny thing, too, when you go down to the... around where the innkeeper is, there's a little, like a diary or something like that, where people can leave comments, like previous people have stayed. And there's one in particular that this is kind of a nice little Easter egg by the game, because this is a character that you'll come in contact with later in the game. And
much later.
And she says, oh, well, you know, the Moogle just kept me up all night going Koopo Koopo all night.
Yeah, it's like, get rid of it or I'm not coming back or something like that. It's hilarious.
Then other than that, something about a pickle cart, right? The pickles to be had here?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously the active time events are all over the place, as they usually are. And so you don't have to look at most of them, but if you do choose to look at one of them, it's Steiner, and he's going through, and he's just, you know, wondering about the city, as he always is the whole time. And there's a little cart, you know. Well, actually, first of all, he talks to a lady for directions or something, and she totally thinks that he's hitting on her, a one-liner or something. And then the funniest thing about that at the end was just like, and scrape off that rust. It's disgusting.
Yeah. See, again, like, this game is so great because it has some adult humor in it. Because it does. Love how after that, you know, he gets completely, like, just rejected by that woman. Yeah. And then he goes over to the pickle cart, and she's like, do you always strike out that badly? It's like, a new pickup line would do wonders. Yeah. And some shine wouldn't hurt either.
And some shine, she just totally lets him have it also. So he just gets double whammied.
Yeah, it's like, would you mind escorting me back to the castle? Imagine
that as an actual pickup line. Oh, hey, pretty creative these days is what it would be, but...
Right.
So you get this old granny that, you know, is trying to offer him some advice, but she also is selling pickles, and so everyone wants, is it Geisel? What is it? Okay, well, I got this. I researched. How the hell do you say this word? Mm-hmm. All I went to is there's, like, a clip of Final Fantasy 13 2 Lightning Returns where an NPC in the game says it, and he says it as Gizel. So Gizel Greens is how he says it, and I'm thinking I'm remembering that correctly, but Gizel Greens. Gizzle Pickles in this case, but
for some reason I always called him Geishel.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what, you know, I don't, some of these words, man, I mean, they may have even been saying it wrong, who knows, but Gizzle Greens,
right.
This case, Gizzle Pickles, and it's just funny, you can get one, he's like, oh, they smell terrible, and she's like, the worse they smell, the better they taste. And then he eats it, yeah. She's like, oh my, even the locals don't eat it all in one bite.
Yeah. And then we have another him just falling straight backwards, so funny. Yeah. You gotta wonder how spicy they are. Actually, that's one of the things. I'm not sure what it is. Are they spicy or are they like really just strong flavor? It's kind of hard to tell. It's open to interpretation, so.
It is. It's pretty funny, though. Then you can see Vivi, right?
Right, right. So right at the beginning, and again, you know, we've got so much to talk about here that we're probably going to be glossing over some things. But anyways, right at the beginning of the scene of Zidane waking up in the inn, Vivi comes in and he's basically like, you know, I'm going to go out and check out the town and all this kind of stuff. And then Zidane's, of course, like, all right, go, you know, go hit on some cuties or whatever. Like, go find your girl.
Yeah.
So anyways, after he does that, after Vivi goes off into the town by himself, you get an ATE where you get to see him go into the item shop and, you know, a little conversation ensues. He finds a coupon nut in there and gets it for free. And then he finds out about
the animal petting zoo.
The animal petting zoo. I was going to say, like, how did she put it again? Yeah.
The animals.
And then, right. And then afterwards she's like, what's so fun about fighting savage beasts? Oh, did I say animals again? Dang
it. Because Viva's like, animals, awesome. And like runs out, like, you know. There's so many just small little gems. Like, that's all kind of we're doing. We're just blowing through all the hilarious conversations right now you can have.
Just too many.
There's so many, because in the next one, right, if you go to the theater district, you know, he's looking for his homies, basically. And you don't have to stop in the tower. You can keep going down. It's like fan club, right? These groupies are all like, they're all just standing there, you know, totally. I mean, it's funny. There'll be like little heart emojis, you know, in the text pretty yeah. much. And, you know, they're waiting for Lowell, you know, and he comes out and they're all screaming, hey, hey, you know, and then he goes away. And then like a Moogle or someone in a Moogle costume comes out. And it's just hilarious because everyone doesn't like, oh, get out of here. And you can talk to him as Zidane. And Zidane's starting to put two and two together. And dude, I never did this. The Moogle runs off. He's like, oh, I gotta go, you know, I'm running off.
Yeah.
And I never did this. I never thought, like, could you actually chase it? So
literally
the other day, I was like, yep, let's do it. So I finally went, I was talking to everyone. They're like, oh, we did see him. And then if you go all the way back to where the train is and you talk to the lady, she's like, no, I haven't seen a Moogle. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, clearly you can find it because dialogue is changing. And so you go in the artist room, and there's Lowell there, or Lowell, or I don't know how you say it, but it's a what? He's trying to get that artist guy, the painter, to do stuff, and, you know, he asks you not to tell anyone, all that stuff, and he gives you an autograph, and I never knew you could get that.
Yeah, such a weird segment. It's like, you'd never really heard of this guy before, right? And like what you said, yeah, this is, you know, in the theater district, you go past the hideout, you go down to that little square. And apparently Lowell is like this famous actor. All the women love him and stuff. But he's playing, he's playing the Moogle in this play.
Moogle
and
wannabe.
And he comes out well, that's the funny part. He comes out and he's like, welcome to Kupo Wannabe 2. And it's just like, we don't care about your show. We came here to see Lowell. And it's just like, oh, this sucks. But yeah, that is really funny, and I actually didn't know that either, that Zidane was basically like, wait a minute. And another funny thing is, if you search the box, there's a little crate on the ground, you can get the Moogle suit. That's another key item. These are both key items. The autograph, I can't remember what it says, but the Moogle suit is another really funny thing. I can't remember what they say. But anyways, two unique missable key items that you can get from an interesting little scene there.
Yeah, which all you gotta do is just go on back. And so
exactly.
But make sure you do stop in the hideout, which I guess is like, it's like a bell tower, right? I mean, because it does ring at one point. He's like, oh, is that the time already? So I'm assuming it's like a clock tower. And I was just thinking when it happened, they got beds right there. How the heck do they sleep? How do they sleep through the night, man? This thing's going off every hour. Like, oh my gosh.
I don't know, man. It's so ridiculous. Like, you're right, though. because when you're in there and the bell goes off, you're gonna be able to sleep in there. I mean, come on.
Every single hour.
Yep. And so you go in there, and he's wondering where the crew is, and then you have these little kids come in, and it turns out that the kids are trying to be in Tantalus, so they're trying to prove their worth by, like, finding some
Yeah.
treasure. They're like, check out what we got. And Zidane's like, oh, wow, Trick Sparrow wings. That's awesome.
Yeah.
No idea how that's good treasure. But anyways, they literally just have bird wings.
Yeah, like we found a
So,
dead bird. It's like, oh,
yeah,
nice.
cool. Yeah, so let's see, we got some interesting eights. What's your favorite here?
Well, I mean, you get the one that's Baku and his crew, right? It goes to them, they're just kind of at this little kind of like jungle looking ancient door, and you can hear a waterfall and all that, and so they're like, oh, we gotta thank our bro, because
All right.
pointing out the river, which alludes back to when we're in the evil forest, and Zidane's like, wonder where this river is. So boom, that
Yep.
finally tied in, right? We finally are tied that in. So that's how they escaped. And the hilarious part, I think, on that scene is when the very first thing, when Senna's going and he drinks the water, and it does the little healing sound, like bling,
Yeah.
it's just hilarious.
Yeah. I know, I love that. And then he's trying to make the coffee. He's just like, this spring water would make the perfect coffee. I'll get the fixins.
I'll get the
It's like,
fixins.
what, the coffee beans? I mean,
Yeah.
what other fixins do you need? That's literally it.
Yeah, that's like, well, yeah, and then so, Baku asks him to go get everyone else, and then that's when, yeah, he's over there making the fixins. And at one point, the scene pauses, and, Baku, like, kind of looks over, like, wait a second. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, do you need to be reminded, like, what, I don't know, something like, what happens to those who don't listen to their boss? And
Exactly,
Senna
yep.
just, and it's funny that it would be Senna that is like, no! Because yeah, he full
Yeah.
on gets one shot in any
Oh, yeah,
battle,
I
so
mean,
it's like you don't want to get beat up with him.
all he'd do is like a sword swipe, do like 80 damage, and then he'd be KO'd.
Yeah.
So, of course, he doesn't want to get one-shotted by Baku. That is one of my favorite ones, too. And yeah, it's kind of cryptic because I didn't want to spoil it at the early part, but like Mark said, as going back to really early when you're escaping the evil forest. So it was all thanks to Blank that they were able to escape by using the river, and that's how they were able to get out the petrified forest.
Yeah,
So, kind of
yeah.
cool.
It is pretty well, and not only that, but then Blank also saves Zidane. So, I mean, he literally saved
Yeah.
all of them, is pretty much
Yeah,
what it was.
Blank's a pretty cool character, gotta admit.
He's their bro, man.
It's a bro.
Bro. So, at this point, I mean, it kind of, you can do whatever. I mean, you got the synthesis shop, so make sure you hit that up. You can go to the stores. It's not like your
All
last
right.
opportunity to do it, it's just kind of your first opportunity, right? You can kind of just go around. You can go back into that store that sells Kupo nuts, and it says
Right.
out of stock. It's kind of a little funny little thing you can do, but
Oh, yeah.
obviously, weapons, go get that stuff. I would definitely go to the synthesis shop. I mean, you got so much good stuff there. You got the cotton
Yep.
robes that you can get, they got
Oh.
the ogre, what is two blades? I forget what the other one
Yep.
is.
This is actually the first. Yeah, this is really the first point in the game where you can, like, seriously get some big time upgrades. I mean, you've got butterfly sword and ogre for Zidane,
Yeah.
cotton robe. There's a really interesting little trick that you can do with cotton robe, actually. So, to synthesize it, you need a wrist and a steepled hat.
Okay.
And the funny thing is, you can buy it for 1,000. Here's the catch, you can sell it for 2,000.
So you can just make a bunch of
So,
money.
yeah, there's actually a little known trick that if you happen to impress all 100 nobles and get Queen Braun impressed back in the very beginning of the game to get that
Right.
10,000 gil, or if you just manage to have a lot of gil, you could buy 99 wrists there, because you can't buy wrists in Lindblom, unfortunately. Otherwise, it would be completely broken. But so if you have the 99 wrists, you can make like 130,000 gil here. It's pretty
Wow,
crazy.
that is pretty, I mean, a lot of work, but that is
It
pretty
is.
crazy.
Yeah, it's a little known trick for those of you out there called the cotton robe trick, if you want to look that up.
Cotton robe. Well, and then you can also make, what is it? I think desert boots,
Your boots.
yellow scarf, I think. A few different things. I mean, definitely get them, especially the accessories, because at this point, you probably only have the Moonstone if you did get the nobles. And so what is it? I think glass buckle is another one, glass buckle or
Last
something looking.
buckle.
And so, you can
Yeah,
essentially make
that's.
them, and it definitely helps. It's added added stats, it's added abilities. I can't quite remember exactly which abilities all of them have, but
Well, yeah, and the glass buckle's really good because it's got a magic boost, a spirit boost. So I usually get like 2 to 3 glass buckles, put that on Vivi. It's just a seriously good accessory.
And if you do have a little bit of money, you know, you can definitely make that happen. So other than that, I think that's about it. And at that, you know, you can definitely explore different things, play some cards, lose a bunch, of course, as usual. And, you know, pretty much for the most part, you kind of just got to go for it. And so Zidane wants, well, the little kids, you know, at the crew were like, you should go see her. I bet she's missing you and thinking about, you know, it's right. Hilarious. And so they're like, yeah, I'll go see her. And so you get to the castle and you go to the room, you find out that she's not there, and you just hear the la 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 la, you know, little song going. And so naturally, you know, you can't get by because the guard won't let you through. You're not authorized, right, anymore. You already had your meeting, it's over, it's not for Zidane anymore. And so naturally what you do is you just go find a sleeping guard and beat him up and take his stuff. No big deal. No big deal. You just literally knocked out a royal guard and took their armors. Yeah. Nothing ever happens to you. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, though, that's funny. Like, whatever happens to that guy, he gets beat up in the guest room, but then he's just, like, disappears and he never makes a report or anything, you know?
He got hung for that because, you know, he allowed his armor to be stolen, so.
I know. You know, this is what we're always going to do. We're always going to think about it all logically, but it's Final Fantasy. This is just not how things work. So,
no, it's not. Thankfully.
So no consequences for that. And then what happens next? He goes up to the upper levels, right?
Yeah, it goes up to the upper levels. I mean, and then they're kind of just talking the whole time. He's pretty much just hitting on her, you know. I mean, she's feeling all down and sad because of what's going on. And he's trying, you know, they talk about the song, you know, why it makes her feel better and all that stuff. And then, you know, you can go in the telescope. Telescope's kind of cool because you can scope out, you know, the different areas on the world map. And so when you leave, you know, they'll be on your actual map. And so that's kind of cool. But, you know, regardless, they're just having the little banter. And then he's like, so when we go on the airship cruise?
Ooh.
And then he's like, he paused and he's like, oh, wait, did I ask the other chick? He's like, whoops. And she's like, well, clearly, you know, you've asked the wrong girl. Yeah. And he's like, oh, see, no.
Should have just gone through with it. He should have just
played it off.
Pause.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the pause where he was like, you know, he gave it away.
Yep.
So
absolutely. And then makes a bet with her that if he wins the Festival of the Hunt, she'll go on a date with him. And it's like, this seems very reminiscent of a Final Fantasy VII bet that I've heard before. And what is up with all these, like, you know, bets? Like, if you have to make a bet with someone to go on a date with you, chances are they probably don't really want to go on a date with you. I mean, you're having to make them bet.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like going back to the old days. You're trying to prove his toughness or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess. But yeah, I get what you say. It's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny. And, you know, at this point, we pretty much are to the Festival of the Hunt. Your last kind of little chance is when you're in the rooms. And it's kind of just, it's beginning to just basically go over the instructions, the rewards, you know, all that kind of stuff. Which we will get into on the next episode, because just so much already there, we're basically out of time on this one. And so that is where we're gonna leave it, is right there in the room waiting for the festival of the hunt, which is probably one of my favorite points in the game. And so as always, we appreciate you all for stopping by, hanging out with us. If you haven't had a chance to check out the website, make sure you do. Final Fantasy Talks.com. there we go, if I can even say it. And we just got, you know, all the cool stuff. Same with social media. Don't forget to give some ideas for some questions and all the different things. So make sure you get plugged in and just kind of hang out with us outside of the episodes, right? So, all right. That's it for us. Thank you all. I'm Mark.
I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.